एतशुनी सनातने रहिला चमत्कार प्रभु रे ना भाया मोर मरण विचार.
After hearing this, Sanatan Goswami was exceedingly astonished. He could understand, my decision to commit suicide has not been greatly appreciated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Since there is no purport, we'll read the further verses till there is a purport.
Sarvagya Mahaprabhu Nishedhila More Prabhu Racharana Dhari Kahena Tahare.
Sanatan Goswami concluded, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who knows everything, past, present and future, has forbidden me to commit suicide. He then fell down, touching the lotus feet of the Lord, and spoke to him as follows.
Sarvagya Kripalu Tumi Ishvara Swatantra Jai Che Na Chao Che Tai Che Na Chiye Na Kashtha Yantra.
My Lord, you are the omniscient, merciful, independent Supreme Lord. Exactly like an instrument of wood, I dance as you make me do so.
Nicha adham pamar mui pamara swabhav more ji aile tomar ki bahabe lab.
I am low born. Indeed, I am the lowest. I am condemned, for I have all the characteristics of a sinful man. If you keep me alive, what will be the profit?
Prabhu koe tomar deha mora nijadhan tumi more kari acha atma samarpan.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, your body is my property. You have already surrendered to me. Therefore you no longer have any claim to your body.
Pare radravya tumi kene chaha vinashite dharma adharma vichara kiba napara korite.
Why should you want to destroy another's property? Can't you consider what is right and wrong?
Tomara sharira mora pradhana sadhan e sharira sadhi muami bahu prayojan.
Your body is my principal instrument for executing many necessary functions. By your body, I shall carry out many tasks.
Bhakta bhakti krishna prema tatvera nidhar Vaishnavera Kritya Ara Vaishnava Achar.
You shall have to ascertain the basic principles of a devotee, devotional service, love of Godhead, Vaishnava duties and Vaishnava characteristics.
Krishna Bhakti Krishna Prema Seva Pravartan Lupta Tirtha Uddhara Ara Vairagya Shikshan.
You will also have to explain Krishna's devotional service, establish centers for cultivation of love of Krishna, excavate lost places of pilgrimage and teach people how to adopt the renounced order. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulam Ananda Bhagwan ki jai. Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki jai.
Nija priya sthanamora Mathura Vrindavan tahan eta dharma chahi kurute pracharan.
Mathura Vrindavan is my own very dear abode. I want to do many things there to preach Krishna consciousness. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to accomplish many purposes through the exegetical endeavors of Srila Sanatana Goswami. First, Sanatana Goswami compiled the book called Brihad Bhagavatamrita to teach people how to become devotees, execute devotional service and attain love of Krishna. Second, he compiled the Hari Bhakti Vilas, wherein he collected authoritative statements from scriptural injunctions regarding how a Vaishnava should behave. Only by the endeavors of Sri Sanatana Goswami were all the lost places of pilgrimage in the Vrindavan area excavated. He established Madan Mohan, the first deity in the Vrindavan area, and by his personal behavior, he taught how one should act in the renounced order, completely devoted to the service of the Lord. By his personal example, he taught people how to stay in Vrindavan to execute devotional service. The principal mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was to preach Krishna consciousness. Mathura and Vrindavan are the abode of Lord Krishna. Therefore, these two places are very dear to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he wanted to develop their glories through Sanatana Goswami.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananda Madhavam Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. It is such a pleasure to be back at the Bhaktivedanta Manor from Moscow. I would like to take blessings of senior Srila Prabhupada disciples, especially Kulangana Mataji. She always comes and encourages by sitting and listening to even younger devotees like us. And I would like to take the blessings of all other senior devotees, Gauri Prabhu, Bhagadatta Prabhu, and other senior devotees present here. Hari Vamsha Prabhu, before I could say a few words. So we are continuing with this beautiful narration, Abhay Prabhu. Oh, I didn't see Abhay Prabhu. I met him in Moscow. Seek his blessings. So we are continuing with this beautiful narration where Sanatana Goswami has arrived in Jagannath Puri. And when Sanatana Goswami came to Jagannath Puri, because of having drunk some polluted water, he had some sores, some boils, which were oozing. And as he was approaching Jagannath Puri, the thought in Sanatana Goswami's mind was that if I go to Jagannath Puri now, and if I'm close to Lord Jagannath's temple, Lord Jagannath's servants would be passing by, and if I happen to touch any one of them, they will all be contaminated, and therefore the worship of Lord Jagannath will not be done in a proper way. He also thought that if I come to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will come and I would have to take darshan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it would be improper to touch Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. So when he arrived in Jagannath Puri, he was staying with Haridas Thakur, and the thought in his mind was that this year during Rath Yatra, I shall throw myself under Lord Jagannath's cart and commit suicide. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami was running away from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because his body and his sores were oozing. Yet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would forcibly embrace him, and Sanatana Goswami was very much disturbed by this fact. He decided to commit suicide. At that point of time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to see Sanatana Goswami, and for the last few weeks this dialogue has been discussed in the pages of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, of how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now telling Sanatana Goswami that committing suicide is not the proper line of action. And here in these verses today, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami how he wants to use him as an instrument and accomplish something through him. How he wants him to write books, how he wants him to excavate the holy places of pilgrimage in Mathura and Vrindavan. He wants Sanatana Goswami to act as an instrument in his hands. So, as I was reading through this section, I was thinking, what was I going to say on this? And the first thing that came to my mind was, how could a devotee like Sanatana Goswami even think of giving up his body? How could a devotee like Sanatana Goswami, who is one of the acharyas of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, right, think of doing something which in the eyes of the scripture and in the eyes of the world is considered to be a heinous crime. How could Sanatana Goswami want to end his body when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here is saying that his body is his property? So I was just thinking about this and trying to understand why Sanatana Goswami wants to end his life. And two points came to my mind. First is, an exalted soul has great humility in his heart. And second is, the Lord wants to accomplish something through Sanatana Goswami's thinking like this. So from the point of view of Sanatana Goswami, it is his humility. And from the point of view of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is his arrangement. And we will try to discuss this. So, very often we read the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, even like Narottam Das Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in their bhajans we see that they express such great degree of humility. They say that we are very fallen, we are very low, we are very abominable, we have committed so many sinful activities, we have absolutely no qualification to come in front of the Lord. And these bhajans seem to be a great inspiration to sadhakas, because they say, if the great acharyas cannot come, then how can we come? So that's a good excuse. You know, if Narottam Das Thakur, if Bhakti Vinod Thakur is saying we are the most fallen, we can't worship the Lord. If Sanatana Goswami is saying, I have no qualification to serve the Lord, there is absolutely no pious credits in my life. Good excuse for all the sadhakas to say that. If the exalted souls are saying that, then I don't think we can practice devotional service. So why is it that these acharyas speak like this in their prayers, in their bhajans? It is an expression of their humility. And in this point of the acharyas expressing their humility, there are two sub-points. First is, Giriraj Swami was once explaining that Krishna is unlimited, and therefore there are unlimited opportunities to serve Krishna. And there is unlimited scope to serve Krishna. So a great devotee of the Lord, when he is serving Krishna, his meditation is, Krishna is unlimited, I am limited, my resources are limited, my abilities are limited, my qualities are limited. I, being limited, I am trying to serve the unlimited Lord. Where is the possibility with my limited resources, with my limited abilities, and of all things, with my limited sincerity? How can I serve the unlimited Lord? Naturally, there is a feeling of despondency in the heart. You know, sometimes like there is a drunkard. A drunkard wants to drink unlimited amount of liquor. So many times when he goes to the pub, he takes first bottle of whiskey, then he drinks that, and then he gets intoxicated. He wants to drink more, so he drinks more. He gets intoxicated, he drinks more, he gets intoxicated. He wants to drink more and more and more. He's getting intoxicated. But simultaneously, there is something called as satiation. When a drunkard drinks liquor, one bottle, another bottle, another bottle, another bottle, there is satiation. And at a certain point of time, even though he wants to drink, he can't continue drinking. The same principle is applied in a great devotee serving the Lord. When he is trying to serve the Lord, he is feeling some satisfaction. He wants to serve him more. He wants to serve him more. He wants to serve him more. But in Krishna consciousness, there is no satiation. Krishna is unlimited. An unlimited amount of service can be done to Krishna. So the devotee is continuing to serve. But in his continuation of service, he also realizes his inability to serve Krishna completely. Thus, a great devotee feels humbled. Krishna being unlimited, I can't serve him completely. Sanatana Goswami, being such an exalted acharya, also feels the same in his heart. He is wanting to serve Lord Jagannath. He is wanting to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the problem is, his sores, which are oozing now. He knows Lord Jagannath will accept his service. He knows Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will accept his service. But he feels himself unqualified to serve. The second reason why a devotee, a great soul, an acharya, feels extremely humbled in service to the Lord is, Prabhupada used to give the example of a tree laden with fruits. A tree laden with more and more fruits will always bend down. Similarly, as a devotee is cultivating the fruit of love of Godhead, he is bending down more and more in humility. And in this humility he thinks, others are better than me. It's not a question of who serves, it's a question of who is better to serve. Sanatana Goswami is thinking, I will go there, and when Lord Jagannath's servants are moving around, my body will touch them and the service to the Lord will stop. Everything will be contaminated. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's servants, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Haridas Thakur, Jagdananda Pandit, Damodar Pandit, are all there in Jagannath Puri and they can serve the Lord better. Why should I stay? What is the use of my body? I better just commit suicide. Out of his humility, he is thinking that everyone else is better than me. Isn't it amazing then that his composition Brihat Bhagavatamrita is focused on this theme? Prabhupada is quoting Brihat Bhagavatamrita in the purport today. Brihat Bhagavatamrita, we see one devotee is, someone's approaching a devotee and saying, oh, you are the greatest devotee. Hanumanji. Hanumanji is saying, No, I'm not the greatest devotee. See what are the faults I have. Sending him to someone else. Go to Prahlad Maharaj. Go to the gopis. Go to Uddhava. Constantly this theme is being seen that there are others who can serve the Lord in a better way. So here we find the acharyas, like Sanatan Goswami, expressing their humility, right? Out of two reasons. Number one, that I am limited and I can't serve the Lord completely. And number two, because of the fruit of love of Godhead that's coming in their heart, like a tree bends because of the fruits. Similarly, a devotee's heart also bends in humility and he starts thinking, it's not a question of me doing it, it's a question of who can do it better. Right? That is the humility of great souls like Srila Sanatan Goswami. The second way of looking at it is, the Lord always wants to teach devotees lessons through His devotees, through His exalted associates. We have the example of Arjuna. Arjuna was completely bewildered. How can a devotee of the Lord in the association of the Lord be bewildered? But the plan of the Lord is that Arjuna will be bewildered by His Yogamaya potency. Arjuna will raise these questions on the behalf of the world, and Krishna will answer those questions and the Bhagavad Gita will come about. And the example is given of a television show, a health show. Just like sometimes on television there is a health show. I don't know how it is in England here, but in India, this is how a health show usually goes. I remember when I was a kid, I used to see on television a health show called Arogya Sampada. It was Prabhuji can tell us, right? He can tell us from Marathi, Maharashtra. Athota ka Marathi band? Arogya Sampata was a program in Marathi. It was a health show. Now, on the health show, there would be a host, an interviewer, who would be asking questions to a specialist doctor. It would be once a week. I think it was on Tuesdays. So every week, there would be a specialist doctor that would come for the show. One week it would be a AIDS specialist. So then the interviewer would ask questions. So sir, could you kindly tell us what are the symptoms of AIDS? What are the causes of AIDS? How to avoid AIDS? What is the treatment for AIDS? And the doctor would answer. The next Tuesday, there would be a tuberculosis specialist who would come. A TB specialist. And the interviewer would still be the same though. He would ask the same questions to the TB specialist and the answers would be given. The next week it would be a cholera specialist. In this way, every week the specialist doctor would change, but the interviewer would always remain the same. And therefore I remember thinking as a child, poor fellow, this interviewer, you know, whatever his name was, he has AIDS, he has cholera, he has tuberculosis, he has pneumonia, he has all these diseases. Isn't it? Why? Because every week he comes and is asking these questions to the specialist doctors. Looks like he has all of these diseases. But as I grew up, I understood that he didn't have the disease. He was asking all of these questions on behalf of the audience, and the specialist doctor was answering all these questions through this person to the audience. Similarly, the battlefield of Kurukshetra is a television show, a health show, where spiritual health is being discussed. All the people of this world are the audience of the show who are really sick. Arjuna is like the interviewer who is not sick, who is simply asking all these questions on behalf of all of us in the audience. And Krishna is the specialist, the doctor, the health specialist, who is answering all of these questions. And therefore, when people say, oh, what is the relevance of the Gita to our lives today? That's meant for Arjuna 5,000 years back. It's like saying, oh, what is the relevance of this health show for us today? The answers given by the specialist are meant for the interviewer. They're not meant for the interviewer. They're meant for the audience given through the interviewer. Similarly, the words of the Gita spoken by Lord Krishna are meant for the world through the medium of Arjuna. Krishna used Arjuna to give the Bhagavad Gita, his bewilderment. Krishna used Maharaj Parikshit, his bewilderment, his getting fatigued, his getting tired, the entire curse for the Bhagavatam to manifest. So the grandfather was responsible for the Bhagavad Gita to come, Arjuna, and the grandson, Maharaj Parikshit, was responsible for the Srimad Bhagavatam to come. The Lord uses his devotees to teach others or to benedict the world with something. The Lord used Vyasdev's disappointment. Vyasdev was completely disappointed. How can the Lord himself, a literary incarnation of the Lord himself, be disappointed, be bewildered? But the Lord used his disappointment, his bewilderment, sent Narad Muni, right, for the compilation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Arjuna took shelter of Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj took shelter of Shukadev Goswami. Vyasadev took shelter of Narad Muni. Sanatan Goswami took shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ke ami, ke amar, jare tapatrai. Who am I? Everyone's calling me a pandit, and I'm thinking that I'm a pandit. I know so many languages, and I'm thinking I'm a scholar. But if I'm a scholar, then I should first know who am I, and I don't even know who I am. Sanatan Goswami, even before meeting Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was reading Bhagavatam and listening to Bhagavatam. Didn't he know who he was? Right, such a great soul. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is using Sanatan Goswami to show the principle of surrender. So like Arjun took shelter of Krishna, like Parikshit Maharaj took shelter of Shukadev Goswami, like Vyasadev took shelter of Narad Muni, Sanatan Goswami took shelter of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this particular episode of his wanting to commit suicide can be seen as an arrangement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also to teach the world certain very important lessons. Prabhupada used to give the example of the mother-in-law teaching the daughter-in-law. Right? Sometimes when the lady, I don't know how often it happens in the West, but in India, when a lady gets married to a man and comes to the house, the mother-in-law usually immediately never wants to chastise and correct the daughter-in-law. Right? Why? Because the daughter-in-law is just new, she's not yet adapted to the family culture, so she doesn't want to immediately speak straight. Now the daughter-in-law sometimes cooks some rice, dal, sabji, and she forgets to put the salt in the sabji. Now usually, I would say, oh, you know, some mother-in-law would say, oh, your mother didn't teach you how to put salt in the rice, or in the dal, or in the sabji. She could just say, didn't your father teach you how to cook nice food? Right. But the mother-in-law will not say like that. The mother-in-law will call her daughter and say, oh, my dear daughter, how many times should I teach you how to put salt in sabji? The daughter is thinking, but I didn't cook the sabji. Right. The mother-in-law will always instruct the daughter-in-law through the daughter, because the daughter-in-law is not yet ready. So Krishna is the mother-in-law, and all of us are the daughter-in-laws, and Sanatan Goswami is the daughter. Very close to Krishna. So Krishna is using Sanatan Goswami to teach us, right, certain very, very important and crucial lessons. Right. What are these lessons that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to teach us? The conditioned soul, the sadhaka, usually goes through extremes. I'm going to discuss two extremes. The first extreme is he has overconfidence in his own abilities and power. Right? I can make it all. I can do it all. Right? The conditioned soul always thinks that I am the doer. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudhatma karta aham iti manyate. He thinks that I am the doer. I have all the resources. I have all the abilities. I can make it. Right? Duryodhan was thinking like that. I have all the resources. I have all the men. And therefore I will win the battle. As he was giving a clear estimate to Dronacharya about the Pandava Sena, about the Pandava army, he now started talking about all the warriors in his assembly. Asmakam tu Vishishtaye. Now I will tell you all those warriors who are especially qualified to lead my army. They are even willing to lay down their lives for my sake. And therefore, O Drona, what do you think? Victory is certain for me. So much confidence in one's own resources, one's own men, that Krishna is standing on the other side, but he is thinking, Krishna is standing, I can still make it. I will still win the battle. And this is the problem of the conditioned soul. That he thinks that if I have all the resources with me, my money, my family, all of my power and control, I can make it in life. Duryodhan had all the resources. He had 18 Aukshahani, was it 11? 11 Aukshahani divisions with him to fight the battle. He thought he could make it. Krishna was standing in front of him and still he was confident that I can make it. People are very proud of their abilities, right? If I have abilities, I can make it in life. I may not have all the resources. Recently we were in Moscow, and when we were in Moscow, they showed us the huge statue of Yuri Gagarin, the first man to go to space. Huge, huge statue. It's like a worshipable deity, right, for them. Gagarin's deity. Huge. So as we were passing by, we started discussing about Yuri Gagarin and his going to space. And Yuri Gagarin was so confident about his abilities. He entered space. He came back. In the United States, he was invited by a school to talk about his experience in space. So when he came, he was giving the talk. After the talk was over, one boy raised his hand and questioned, "Sir, when you went to space, did you see God there?" Right. And Yuri said, "No." Right. The Christian priest, who was the principal of the school, stood up, took the microphone, and he said, "When Yuri Gagarin was on Earth, he could not see God here. What will he see God there?" Right. If he couldn't see God here on the planet, because you can see God everywhere. If you couldn't see God here, where is the question that you will go and see God there? Right. Duryodhan could not see God. He was standing in front of him. Yuri Gagarin also could not see God. And God obviously was not standing in front of him. Duryodhan was proud about his resources. Yuri Gagarin was proud about his abilities. Right. This first man in space. Who cares for God? And then there are people who are overconfident about their intellectual abilities. Their intellectual prowess. Prabhupada is to give the example of Abraham Kaur. Right. He challenged that if God does not come on such and such date, at such and such time, at such and such place, there is no God. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people gathered there to see what would happen. Right. And Abraham Kaur said, "Now the time begins." the time for God to appear had passed. He said to God, I give you grace time. Some grace time if you still want to prove yourself. Please come. Right. God still did not come. And Abraham's conclusion was, there is no God. Right. You can't see God because there is no God. Finally, he had to see God in the form of death. Everyone has to see God in the form of death. So here we have someone of, because of resources, Krishna standing there, couldn't see. Yuri Gagarin went to space, I couldn't see God. Abraham Kaur, there is no God, so how will you see God? People are overconfident and they think we can make it in life. And then they have to learn lessons through the school of hard knocks. Right? When they go through so much in their life, finally they come to a conclusion, maybe there is a God. I met a couple in Moscow and their daughter got cancer, 9-year-old daughter got terminal cancer. And previously they were kind of pious, doing things here and there. Now they said, we have to take God seriously. Somehow or the other, the girl was saved and now slowly they're becoming more and more serious in Krishna consciousness. Right. So many times there is extreme confidence in one's abilities that I can do things in my life. But when we fail, then the second thing that comes is depression that I am useless. I cannot do anything. I am a useless guy. Our authorities are giving us some responsibilities in Krishna consciousness. One extreme is, I know it all. I have the talents. I have the resources. I have the intelligence. I have the abilities. Right. Everything is with me and I can do it myself. And when one tries to figure it out oneself, by learning in the school of hard knocks, one comes to a conclusion, it's not possible for me to do it on my own. Then the second phase is depression. I am useless. And most people mistake this kind of depression that I'm useless to humility. Right. So one is overconfidence, pride. And second is artificial humility. Pride that I can do it. And when I fail in what I do, then artificial humility that, Prabhu, I'm useless. You're asking me to do this. First, when Prabhu gave this responsibility to me, I said, I'll make it. I went to London Business School. I studied management there. It's simple to manage the temple. What's the big deal? Bhakti Vedanta Manor? Come on. I am a postgraduate from LBS. I can do it. Not a big deal. Pride or confidence in one's own abilities. Duryodhan. Right. I can make it. My resources are all there. And then when one tries to do it, and especially when one tries to do it in a community of devotees, outside one can do hire and fire. Right. When one tries to do that in a community of devotees, God, community of devotees is the biggest school of hard knocks. Isn't it? Oh my God. One can be knocked like anything. No abilities work there. Simply skills don't work there. Skills, abilities, resources, intellect doesn't work there. And therefore then after years and years of trying, when nothing works, then comes the phase of, I am useless, Prabhu. I think I can't make it. Maybe this responsibility should go to someone else. Right. So that's the other side, the flip side of the same thing. Ego has two coins. One is, I can do it. And second is, I can't do it. I can do it is pride. And I can't do it is artificial humility because I can't make it anymore. I can't make it here. Right? So, that is the flip side of ego. Real humility lies in two things. One is conviction that I am useless. And second is confidence that if I give myself in the hands of the Lord can do something through me. I am useless, I know. But simply knowing I am useless is no use. If I am convinced I am useless, that's the first lesson in humility. I have all my abilities, I have all my talents, I have all my resources, that's good. But I know that this is not what will work. Right. Myself, I am useless. But second aspect of humility is confidence that if I continuously and sincerely try to put myself in the hands of Guru and senior Vaishnavas, the Lord can work wonders through me. I may be useless, but the Lord is not useless. I may be useless, but my spiritual master's power is not useless. I may be useless, but the senior Vaishnava's power is not useless. Right. Like I usually tell the story, which most of us know, but it's a very relevant story. In India, when people carry water from a river, usually they call it kavadi in India. I don't even know if they have it in Russia they have. When I told the story, they said they have it in Russia. That they have a stick, a big stick, which the water bearer carries on his shoulders, and on the two sides by strings, two cans are suspended, right, held. So he fills water in these two cans and carries these two cans on the shoulder, this is a stick on the shoulder, and he just walks, right, to wherever he wants to carry the water to. So once there was a gardener, and this gardener had a beautiful garden. So the river was at a distant place, so he would use this particular arrangement to carry water to his garden. So every day he would bring water, and as he would walk on the road, on the left side was one can or one pot, and the other side was the other can. Now as every day he used to carry water, the second can on his right hand side was entering into chronic depression. Because the can had a problem. The can had a hole in it. And every day as he would carry water, the water would all drain out. By the time he would reach the garden, only the can on the left hand side would be full. The can on the right hand side would be empty. The barrel would be empty. So this can started thinking to itself, maybe I should commit suicide. You know, I think it's time to commit suicide. Like Sanatana Goswami is saying here, I should commit suicide. The can was also thinking, maybe I should commit suicide. Why? Because I'm useless. I have nothing to my credit. My master is trying to use me to carry water, to water the plants in the garden. But how useless am I that all the water is drained out? But he thought, maybe I'll postpone my committing suicide and see what to do. And one day, as the can was passing by, finally the can spoke to the master and said, "Master, today I have decided I want to commit suicide." The master said, "Why?" The can replied, "Look, for so long, for the last over 6-8 months, you've been trying to fill water and water the plants in the garden, but I couldn't assist you. I'm useless. All the water in the barrel drains out. And by the time you're there, there's nothing left. Excuse me, I am useless, I want to commit suicide." The master said, "No, you shouldn't commit suicide. Please look to your right hand side." And when the can turned to the right hand side, saw from the river till the garden, there were beautiful plants with such beautiful flowers grown on it. Why? Because the master knew that this can has a hole in it and the water is all draining out. So on the path, he had sown all beautiful plants, the seeds for different plants, and each of them were plants with beautiful flowers growing on it. And within 6 months' time, there were beautiful flowers, a beautiful flower bed reaching the garden from the riverside. Which means, yes, we are useless. Yes, we may have a lot of holes in us. We are like these cans, like these barrels. Srila Prabhupada is like that water bearer, right? And we may have a lot of holes, we may have a lot of problems, we may have a lot of troubles. But when Srila Prabhupada and the seniors and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to use us for something, then they can use us for very constructive purposes. That is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami. "My dear Sanatan, you are saying you are useless, you are saying that you want to commit suicide, but through you, I want to accomplish something. Through you, I want to excavate the places of pilgrimage. Through you, I want to establish the process of devotional service. Through you, I want to establish the example of a perfect devotee. You must go to Vrindavan and excavate the holy place of pilgrimage. You must write books based on the science of devotional service." And this is such a beautiful lesson Lord Chaitanya is teaching us through the life of Sanatana Goswami. That we shouldn't be overconfident that I can do things. Nor should we go to the other extreme thinking that I couldn't make anything, so I am useless, so I can't do. I am giving up Krishna consciousness. I am giving up my responsibility. Lord Chaitanya is teaching us a perfect blend of the two, and that is real humility. Right? Humility means I am useless. I may have my abilities, but what can I do with my abilities? Conviction that I can't do anything on my own is the first element of humility. And second, confidence that if I simply give myself in the hands of Srila Prabhupada and my spiritual master and the senior authorities and Vaishnavas, they can use me to accomplish something which can create a long-lasting impact on our society. Srila Prabhupada also so many times expressed this humility that he was useless. Right? So many times he used to say this. Srila Prabhupada once, we know the story of how he was in this university and he was giving a lecture on the Varnashram system and he was talking about Brahmana is first class, Kshatriya is second class, Vaishya is third class, Shudra is fourth class. And then one boy got up and asked this question. Swamiji, what do you think you are? Who are you? Are you first class? And Prithu Prabhu was mentioning, he said, anyways, we were from Germany at that time and German shepherds are very famous. He said, I wanted to go and howl at him, Prithu Prabhu was mentioning. I want to go and bark and like a German shepherd. He was saying, I'm Prabhupada's dog. I wanted to go and bark at him, just pounce on him. But somehow or the other, I just controlled myself. Prabhupada just hung his head and said, I am not even fourth class. I'm lower than fourth class. I'm fifth class person. Prabhupada expressed that humility. That what am I? I'm nothing. Many times Prabhupada would say, what am I? I'm an old man. I'm doing nothing. But all of you young men, young American boys and girls, you are actually running the movement. Many times Prabhupada used to express this. But he simply didn't say that I'm useless because nothing happened. He had strong confidence that I am simply a postal peon. I am an instrument in the hands of my spiritual master, and whatever Guru Maharaj wants to accomplish through me, he will accomplish through me. I know I have nothing. But if he wants to work through me, well, he can do a lot through me. So therefore in the poem Markine Bhagavad Dharma, he says, Bhakti nahi, Ved nahi, name khub dharo. I don't have bhakti and I don't have knowledge of Vedas. That is his humility. He's thinking, I am useless. Bhakti Vedanta naam, tumi sarthak karo. Oh my dear Lord, if you so desire, you make my name true. Right? You work through me if you so desire. That is real humility. Right? Knowing that on my own I am nothing, but also knowing that if I am an instrument in the hands of the Lord and His devotees, the Lord can use me to get something really constructive for the world. And a classic example of this to conclude the talk with comes in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Arjuna, who fought the battle in such a valiant way, was victorious. Krishna had now departed from this world and Arjuna had gone to Dwaraka to take all the queens of Krishna, bring them along with him to Hastinapur. Right? On the way, as they were coming back, some infidel cowherd boys came, defeated Arjuna and took all the queens away. Question is raised, how can some infidel cowherd boys touch the Mahishis, the queens of Lord Krishna? Srila Prabhupada answers the question in the purport quoting Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur from Brahma Puran and Vishnu Puran, that actually all of these queens were damsels from the heavenly planets. Once Ashtavakra Muni came to Swargaloka and all these heavenly damsels served Ashtavakra Muni so well, Ashtavakra Muni said, what do you want? Said, we want the Lord as our husband. Said, okay, I bless you that all of you will have the Lord as your husband. And then later when Ashtavakra Muni got up and he was about to leave, Ashtavakramuk means he who is curved at eight places, bent at eight places. So as he was walking in such a peculiar, funny way, all of these damsels started laughing and giggling. Ashtavakra Muni got wild. He said, you are insulting me. I curse you. I curse you that you will get the Lord as your husband. But some infidel cowherd boys will come and kidnap you. Now, they bowed down at the feet of Ashtavakra Muni and please, please don't be so harsh on us. Then Ashtavakra Muni blessed, do not worry. You will be kidnapped, but the Lord only will expand as these cowherd boys and kidnap you. So it was not someone else, but the Lord only who actually could touch the body of the bodies of the Mahishis. Right? So they were kidnapped. Here was our dear friend Arjuna, not knowing what to do. He couldn't just figure out how was it that he was defeated on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. It was such a valiant victory. And now, when big Timingala like fish, you know. The Bhagavata explains the Kaurava Sena was like an ocean and the great generals were like huge Timingala fish to devour the Pandava Sena. And yet they survived. Yet they were victorious. And here's some cowherd boys who don't even know how to pick up the bow and arrow with their sticks defeated Arjuna. Arjuna's words are very instructive and very inspiring. In one verse, Arjuna summarizes the whole thing and Srila Prabhupada's purport to that is extremely beautiful. Right? Arjuna says, Tadvai dhanus ishava rathohayaste soham rathi nripatayo yata amananti sarvam kshanena abhud asadisha riktam bhasmam hutam kuhakaradham ivoptamushyam. Tadvai dhanush. This is the same Gandivabo which killed millions of people on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Tadvai dhanush ishava. These are the same arrows, the same quiver given by my father Indra. All of these arrows which were unbeatable, unsurmountable, same arrows. Ratho hayaste. The same ratha donated by Agnidev, not a different ratha, the same ratha on which Krishna stood, which was used for the battle. Hayaste. The same horses given by Chitraratha, which were capable of conquering all directions. Right. Soham rathi. The ratha is the same. The horses are the same. The Gandiva is the same. The quiver is the same. The arrows are the same. Maybe I have changed? No. Soham rathi. I am the same Maharathi warrior Arjuna. Yata nripatayo yata amananti, to whom all the emperors would come and submit and bow down. What has changed then? If I am the same, the chariot is the same, the bow is the same, the arrows are the same, the quiver is the same, what has changed? Sarvam kshanena, in one moment everything can change. Sarvam kshanena abhud asad isha riktam. Isha riktam. Now my life is devoid of Krishna. Isha. Rikta means a space. Right. In Hindi they say rikta sthanon ki purti kijiye. Fill in the blank. Rikta means blank. Fill in the blank. Rikta. So there was a blank in Arjun's life now. It was filled before. Now there was a blank. Krishna had left. And Arjun gives three examples. Bhasmam hutam. All my efforts to protect the queens of Dwarka now are like pouring ghee on ashes. When the fire sacrifice is over, the element fire from the ashes is gone. So no matter how much ghee is poured, fire will never come out. There will be no success. Krishna is gone now. The Krishna element from my life is gone. All my efforts to save them is like pouring ghee on ashes. What will happen? Nothing will happen. Or, kuhakaradham. It is like moving a magical wand. No matter how much we move a magical wand, can we produce real money? The magician goes there and moves a magical wand and produces so much money. If he is producing so much money, why he needs to perform magical shows and get paid for it? Right. There is no real money in it. It's all illusory. What is the effort? Just moving a wand will not get any real money out of it. Arjun said, my trying to protect the queens is like moving a magical wand. There is no substance in it. Krishna has already left. There is a blank. What's going to come out? Ivoptamushyam. The third example he gave was, it's like sowing a seed in a barren land. The fertility of the soil has already left. My efforts are like sowing a seed. what's going to come out of it? If the fertility is not there, no matter how many seeds are sown by the farmer, it's not going to grow. My efforts are like the farmers trying to harvest a crop. But Krishna's leaving me is like the fertility leaving the soil. Right? Srila Prabhupada's purport is very beautiful. Prabhupada says, one should never be proud of borrowed plumes. A crow may get the feathers of a peacock, and if the crow starts thinking, I am a peacock, that's not right. Prabhupada says, one should never be proud of the power that one has taken from the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada explains, Krishna is like the powerhouse, and all his devotees are like the electric bulbs. Krishna is supplying that power, and because of that power, devotees are able to do something. As soon as Krishna decides to take that power away, like he did in the case of Arjuna, a devotee cannot do anything. And therefore Prabhupada explains to conclude, material civilization is like child's play. A father may give toys to the son to play, and once the father feels the game is enough, he will also take those toys away. Krishna may give his devotees power, and if the Lord feels, he might even take that power away like he took it away from Arjuna. But Arjuna had real humility. He understood, on my own, I was nothing. It wasn't my bow, it wasn't my arrows, it wasn't me, it wasn't my chariot, it wasn't my horses. It was because I was acting as an instrument in Krishna's hand. Therefore Krishna could use me. So here we find Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Sanatana Goswami that he wants him to be a instrument in his hands. In that state of humility, not that, you know, now I'm useless, but he's teaching us through him that, you know, my body is oozing and I don't want to live, I want to commit suicide. Lord Chaitanya said, no, there is a lot to be done yet, and therefore you should stay. And Lord Chaitanya then one day came and embraced him. Sanatana Goswami said, this oozes, this is pus, my dear Lord. He said, this is like chatushna. It is a mixture of sandalwood and camphor and saffron and musk. This is fragrant like that. My God, I can't, for me, I've still never been able to understand how Lord Chaitanya could say that when pus and all this oozing things are coming out and touching the body of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. God, unimaginable. But there is one thing that has just come to my mind. Last thing, if you allow me to say this, 5 minutes, 3 minutes more maybe. There's one beautiful verse here, which is the blueprint for the Hare Krishna movement. The blueprint for the Hare Krishna movement. This verse comes here. Krishna bhakti, Krishna prema seva pravartan, lupta tirtha uddhar ara vairagya shikshan. What happened to Sanatana Goswami also happened to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When he was in Mayapur, he was thinking, I am useless. Although the instruction of Lord Chaitanya to preach all over the world is there, I am useless and therefore I can't do anything. He said, there's no point in doing anything. I have no qualification. And he decided to do his bhajan. So one day as he was sitting and chanting his rounds, the holy name, suddenly out of nowhere, a little piece of paper came flying because there was kind of a storm and it landed straight into the lap of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It was a small piece of paper. It was a Bengali shloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Torn paper, torn piece of it had come and landed. And you know what verse it was? This verse. Krishna bhakti, Krishna prema, seva pravartan, lupta tirtha uddhar ara vairagya shikshan. Lord Chaitanya is telling Sanatana Goswami, you will also have to explain Krishna's devotional service, establish centers for cultivation of love of Krishna, excavate lost places of pilgrimage and teach people how to adopt the renounced order. This verse inspired Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to give up just staying in Mayapur and practice his bhajan and start the Gaudiya Math. And thereafter, Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and thus the Hare Krishna movement is existing today. And therefore this verse is such a beautiful verse which comes in this section. Lupta Tirtha Krishna Prema Seva Pravartan Lupta Tirtha Uddhar Ara Vairagya Shikshan. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jai. Samaveta Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. Hari Hari Gaur.